that refreshing touch from heaven this morning, God, that we would meet with you, that we'd be filled, that we'd be equipped, that we'd be strengthened, that we'd be encouraged, God, that you would burn away the things, the hearts, the desires, the attitudes that are in our hearts, God, that don't belong to you. Lord, would you burn those things away? And God, would our hearts be on fire for you? And God, would you come and meet with us? Wherever we're at, Lord, whatever we're going through, I just pray for encounters with you this morning. God, that our hearts and our lives would never be the same. We love you. We love your presence. Lord, there's nothing better than being with you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we long for more. We long for more. Come on, don't give up yet. Just begin to just pour your heart to him. Don't quit. Jesus, we long for more. Would you come and revive, refresh, and restore? We long for more. Oh, 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 oh. Come, Holy Spirit. Understand that you are always listening to us, but also speaking, God. You are wanting to connect. You are wanting to walk with us, to have a relationship with us. So Jesus, I pray you'd help us to get to know you more. I pray that we let go of the fear and the anxiety and the worry or the condemnation that we hold on to, that we're not good enough, that we're not able. Lord, thank you that you, when we confess our sin, when we give our hearts to you, when we confess you as Lord and Savior, when we put our belief and our trust in you, God, you come and live in us. Lord, we become adopted into your family as your children, that we be our new creations, that we are born again. And Lord, in that process, you give us the ability to hear your voice because our spirit comes alive. So Jesus, I just pray this morning for every single one of us, God, that this would not be going through the motions of tradition or religion, but Lord, that we would recognize that you're here with us, that you call us to gather together as your church, as your bride, to celebrate, to encourage, to challenge, to grow, to serve one another. But in the midst of that, God, you are moving and you're speaking, and I pray that we would hear from you today. Thank you for your faithfulness and your goodness in our lives. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to take communion. Yep. Yeah. Yeah, God, we just pray for Charles and that whole family, Lord. We just pray for your peace and your comfort and your strength with them. As they grieve, Lord, just bless them and be with them in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to take communion in a few minutes. I'm going to invite Holly to come share something about communion first. And then so just prepare your hearts, and then I'll get to the sermon later. So come on up, Holly.
Could see over better. So Friday marked 15 years since God gave us extra time with Jim, and I remember that Tuesday and when Jim was having a blood clot that was going to lead to a polypulmonary embolism, I went in and prayed because when we phoned the hospital in the middle of the night, they said to us, no, that's okay, we wouldn't get a doctor out of bed for that. And I felt that was God, but I went to ask him what I should do, and I just remember so clearly him telling me, it's okay, I got this. And as I was coming up here, I'm like, God, what do you want to say to me? It's okay, I got this. Okay, thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I thank you that you have all of us. And so I just like to share just a revelation on one verse of Scripture this morning for you. And it's Psalm 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield for me, my glory, and the lifter of my head. So first off, when the psalmist calls God his glory, he's not claiming God's glory for himself. God doesn't share his glory with idols or with humans, but he is the source of glory for his people. So David is acknowledging that his dignity, strength, and reputation come from entirely from God. When David writes this psalm, he was fleeing from Absalom. He was facing immense pressure and slander. This psalm shows a shift from fear to trust in God's protective presence. So in this way, looking up signifies encouragement from being downcast and looking up to a loving God, allowing the head to be lifted high despite surrounding circumstances. So having Jesus in us and us being part of him and part of the body, we can be an encourager for one another. So I'd ask you all to be on the lookout this week for how you can be an encouragement, how you can lift somebody else. But I also want to look one layer deeper in this scripture. God's word is so good. It speaks to us on the natural. It speaks to us in the literal. It speaks to us spiritually. And there's things that maybe it will say to us in one part of our life, and then some other part of our life, it'll give us another new revelation of how to use the same truth, the same word, in another way to apply to our life. So I was impacted by the notes that I read. I was reading in the Passion Translation, and I just want to encourage you, if you have any concerns, or if somebody has just said to you, well, this translation's good or this translation's not very good, I just want to encourage you to pick a translation and read it. The main thing is to be reading God's word. And anybody who's worried, I don't read any of them exclusively. So, but in this case, it was the notes in this verse that really impacted me. So in the Passion Translation, verse 3 says, but in the depths of my heart, I truly know that you, Yahweh, have become my shield. You take me and surround me with yourself. Your glory covers me continually. You lift high my head. In the notes, the author points out that at the time when this psalm was written, in the judicial setting, lifting one's head signified acquittal, not guilty when being judged. So this is like being freed from the prison of shame and acquitted spiritually. So the enemy, our accuser, doesn't have any grounds left to accuse us in the matter. He's left silent before God. His power against the believer is now limited. An encouraging term for this is case closed. So case closed, Jill. Case closed, John. Case closed, Don. Remember that although our love is imperfect, and we may actually keep a record of wrongs, this sin, in this case, is wiped off the record books, and it won't be brought up against us the next time we mess up. This scenario reminds me, when we look down, we might look like a dog who's done something wrong. And if you think of that, you can think of the dog, got its tail between its legs, it's cowering, it can't even look at the owner because it knows it's messed up. And in a way, that's a right response to sin, to be sorry that we've done it. But when the owner calls the dog, it's okay, boy. Oh my goodness. There is a reconnection and relationship is restored. Usually, a fairly exuberant expression of joy follows, and as gratitude and love flow unabounded. So I pray today that as we receive communion and we receive forgiveness of our sins, we also have a revelation of experience of restored relationship with our Savior. And I pray that we will express gratitude and adoration to our Lord, even shared exuberant joy between us and Jesus, as we give him our love, and he's enjoying that we're giving him our love. But he's also just ecstatic that we are receiving the love that he died for us to receive. So we may not only be looking down due to shame, like that dog. We might be dropped down with discouragement, looking down at circumstances. Circumstances that are discouraging or circumstances of lack. These circumstances that are actually lower. They're beneath our feet when we are seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now this is not to make light of true suffering, but also, it's just a reminder not to take on the onslaught of disparaging news that cause extra suffering that isn't ours to bear. So, Jesus not only pays for our sin so we can be acquitted, he also gives us his righteousness. It's an exchange. It means he just doesn't take our failure, but he transmits us our right standing with God. So here is an image that I just want us to think about for a moment. Jesus is coming towards our bending towards our lowered head. And this time, Lord, I pray that our head is lowered in submission. It's lowered in repentance. And he gently reaches out and tenderly touches your chin. He even with his other hand guides your head up to look up. What would we be looking up to? Obviously, we're looking up to his face shining upon us. And of course, we discover that his gaze is turned to us. How else would we be meeting his gaze? As our eyes meet, we see, just like it says in John 3:17, Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save it. So he's not looking at us in eyes of condemnation, but he's looking through the lens of the blood he shed on the cross. We might see only our failures and our shortcomings, but he looks at us with love. So if you are needing today to let go of fear, right now, I pray that you will let go of the fear and let him lift your head to look at him with peace, your source of peace. He even gave his own life for you, so he has enough love to hold you steady today. He can be your peace even before the anxious circumstances have changed. Right here and right now, you can look to him for peace. If you need love, maybe a father's love that doesn't come with harsh judgments, let him lift your eyes and look into those eyes of his that show you his heart of perfect love for you. If you're lonely and you want someone who prefers your company, not just accepts you, but puts up with who you, puts up with you, or but somebody who truly loves you and craves to be with you. I pray that you will look up and you will see that he will always meet your gaze. Jesus doesn't get bored of you. You can know this because he made you for eternity. Look to him and let him look right into you. Into me, see. Intimacy. I'd like us all to ask right now, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to see, show in you? And what do you want me to know that you see in me? Jesus, how can we accept and receive this communion right now? So I'll just lead us in a little prayer. Lord, we repent of looking at the circumstances more than we look to you. We repent for looking to ourselves and our own understanding, not acknowledging you and seeking your ways and thoughts that are higher. We repent for living for fleshly desires and thereby looking away from you when your gaze was longing for us. We ask you to show us in our hearts the wrong judgments that we have made when our heads were looking down on judgments on others. Lord, we ask that those judgments be canceled, and we are sorry for making them. Lord, show us where we have come into agreement with the discouraging lies in the enemy is tempting us to believe in our circumstances. Lord, we repent for agreeing with the accuser. Lord, help us to see what you see in our lives. Help us to see what you see in our circumstances, what you see in ourselves. Lord, we choose to make agreement with that. So I thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us, for our healing, and I thank you, Lord, that you have made us part of your body. Lord, I thank you for your blood shed for us, for the new covenant, and for intimacy restored with your bride. We look to you. We receive and thank you for your love, and we pour our love and adoration back out to you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Holly. We're going to take communion. I just want to invite the worship team to come, and we'll pass out the emblems now. If you don't mind, Holly, just grab somebody to give you a hand. Just while they get ready, I just want to remind us, communion, we take communion not because it's a nice snack in the middle of church, not to up our blood sugar. We take communion because we are followers of Jesus. And we take communion to remember and also celebrate what Jesus has done for us and in us. So the last 2 weeks we've talked about covenant. I hope you remember. And honestly, if you missed the last 2 weeks, I encourage you, watch them online. It's really important to understand that everything that we look at in Scripture through the Word is through covenant language. It's understanding what God has done for us and the lengths that he will go to walk with us, to love us, to go before us, because God will not hold anything back from us because of the covenant he's made with us. Amen? We need to understand that. We need to understand that who we are as his children means that God would give everything and has given everything for us. Through Jesus on the cross, he conquered sickness, death, sin, addiction, all of that stuff, our mess, so that we could be free of shame and guilt and condemnation and we could know him. And so I just quickly want to remind you that the gospel is that Jesus died for you and I so that we could freely receive the gift of eternal life. Not because we've earned it, not because we deserve it. You'll never earn it and you're never good enough, and you definitely, and myself included, do not deserve the grace and the mercy of God. Because we've all sinned. And the Bible says that the wage of sin is death. So when we earn something, when we work towards something, we get a paycheck. And the things we've done, because of the sin and the mess we made, we deserve death. But the gift of God, it says, is eternal life. And so we get an inheritance with God, not because we earned it or deserved it, but because we become adopted into his family as children and become heirs. So it's not something we work for. It's not something you deserve. It's something that's freely given because we receive by faith the good news of Jesus. We receive by faith Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so we say yes to him as an act of faith and trust, believing in him. And the good news is that it doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter your skin color or your financial status or anything. You don't have to be above this high. You don't have to pass an entrance exam. There's none of that. The Bible says we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. It's that simple. And the call, though, is now to walk out a life of choosing Jesus every single day, choosing to follow him, choosing to become like him, because God made a covenant with Jesus that we get to inherit, that we get to benefit from, that God will never turn his back on us, that he will never forsake us or reject us, that he will never stop loving us. And in turn, we're called to give ourselves to him, to die to ourselves, to say, Lord, you're first before everything else in my life. You're first before I worry about my finances. You're first before I worry about my kids or my spouse. You're first before I worry about anything else. My free time, God, everything, you're first. That's what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to make him first, which is hard. It's not easy. The goal isn't to just be saved from the fire of hell. It's not just fire insurance. The goal is to get to know Jesus personally, to walk with him, and to become like him. And so that's why when we take communion, we're saying, thank you, Jesus, that you went on the cross for me, that you bore my sin and my shame, all the guilt, all the condemnation, everything that I've done. You took on the cross, he died, and God rose him. And the Bible says that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead then dwells in us when we become followers of Jesus. So you have resurrection life in you. And so we take this to celebrate and to remind ourselves that we belong to him, that he's alive in us, and he has held nothing back. We don't get a partial Holy Spirit. We don't get a little bit of him. We get all of him. We're not just partially adopted. We're not just when God's in a good mood or something, welcome to come to him. We're invited every single day to always come because his heart is, please come and abide with me. That's the gift. That's the invitation. That's the offer that he gives to us. He paid the price. He's made a way, and we receive and choose every day to say, yes, Lord, I put you first. Yes, Lord, I choose what you've called me to do. So I choose to love others. I choose to surrender. I choose to submit. I choose to serve. I choose to help. I choose to pray. I choose you. Amen? That's what we're doing. So communion is for people who believe. Communion is for those who have said yes because they're covered and filled with the blood of Jesus, because that blood was shed for us. And that's what that means. I hope that makes sense. So these guys are going to sing, maybe not a whole song, but part of a song. And I just encourage you to prepare your heart. In fact, let me even just say this. If you have never invited Jesus into your life, we'll just do an altar call right now before taking communion. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, if you've never actually made that commitment, see, you might have thought, well, I've been a good person for a long time. Great, good for you, but it's not enough. It's not enough. And you might think, well, I've gone to church lots. Great, but that doesn't save you. Hey, I read the whole Bible. Yeah, that's awesome. That doesn't save you either. You can even have it memorized. It doesn't save you. You need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way. Not one of many, not one option. He's the only way to the Father. And so if you've never done that, if you've never given your life to him and said, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life so I can know you and be free of my sin, I'll just invite you to do that now. We say a prayer. It's not the prayer that saves you. It's the act of faith and beginning to follow him and live for him that we work out our salvation. Amen? But we do pray just as a simple engagement of our faith to say yes to Jesus. So I want to pray this simple prayer, and I invite you to pray it with me. Lord, thank you that you love me. Thank you, Jesus, that you gave your life for me. Thank you that there is nothing that you withhold from me because you love me. And so, Lord, I give you my sin. And you just take a moment if you want. Just think about what are the things even that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind right now. He's really good at just reminding you, hey, you yelled at your spouse, you yelled at your kids, you cheated on this, you did that. He'll remind you. He's faithful to be like, you need to deal with this, you need to deal with that attitude, you need to do that. So you can just name those things, because then it's specifically, you're giving that to the Lord. Lord, I'm sorry for when I watched that stuff. I'm sorry for when I listened to people gossiping and slandering. I'm sorry for when I joined in criticizing. I'm sorry, Lord, when I listened to that music that talks about suicide and hatred and filth all the time. I'm sorry that I filled myself with that junk. So you tell him what you're sorry for. So Jesus, we give you that sin, and let's pray this together. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that you promise to forgive me every single time I confess my sin to you. And Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I want you to come and live in me, that I could have eternal life, that I could become your child, that I could be adopted into your family. And thank you, Jesus, that in doing that, you've given me everything that I need to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take this cracker. Let's sing the song first. I'm getting ahead of myself.
All my life you have been faithful.
1 Corinthians 11, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he was given, had given thanks, he broke it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, do this in remembrance of me. So Lord, we take this and we celebrate, we say thank you Jesus for all that you've done for us. Thank you for all that you're about to do. Lord, we're holding on to you and the promise that you're with us. In Jesus' name, let's take this together. In the same manner, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Lord Jesus, we thank you that the life is in the blood. And Lord, we learned the last few weeks talking about covenant, how blood was always shed to make a covenant. And Lord, you shed your blood for us. You made a covenant that you'll never go back on. And that promise for us is that you're always with us, you're always for us, that salvation is always available, that there is forgiveness of sins found in you, there's power to heal, save, and deliver that's found in the name of Jesus. And it's through the power of your blood and all that you've done. And so we thank you that you come and live in us so that we can experience wholeness, freedom, salvation, and a hope of eternal life with you. So we take this to celebrate, Lord, all that you've done for us, all that you've made a way for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, I just feel like God's pulling a little bit of an audible on me, and so I'm not going to go into this message this morning, but I just want to open the altar, and I want to take a few minutes before we do that and just share something that's on my heart, but I want to just make way for you if you would like to get prayer this morning, to just give you that chance to come, to receive prayer, to receive all that he has for you. I think it's important, though, that we just not rush some of these moments. Sometimes we just want to jump to the next thing, or it's like, what time is it? Here's what's on my heart. You and I were made for connection. We are designed for connection. The Bible says in the book of Genesis, the very beginning in Scripture, God created things and said it was good. And he created more things and said it was good. And then in Genesis chapter 2, it said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created a helpmate, took a rib, right, out of Adam's side, which I think is actually really interesting illustration. There's a lot that people read into some of those things. I don't know, but the reality is that God made women to come alongside, not to be less than, but to stand from their side, to stand side by side. And I really believe that that is why God created marriage. It's a reflection of the passion, the relationship, the uniqueness, the unity, that's his heart, his design. It's like it's an ongoing picture and reminder to us, this is what I've designed you to live in, a safe relationship where you can thrive together. And do we see messes? Do we see pain in those things? Yeah, we do, because we often struggle and fail at loving one another the way that we're designed to, the way that God has loved us. See, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have lived in unity. The Trinity has lived in unity forever. They've lived as one. The Bible says that when a man marries a woman, they become one flesh. They leave the father and the mother, and they go to that spouse. They leave and cleave. And that's the heart of marriage, is to let go of everything else and make that one priority. Other than our relationship with God, when you get married, that person now is your biggest priority in life. More than your kids, more than your grandkids. Because your kids eventually will leave. 17, 18, maybe 37 years later, whatever. They're eventually going to leave. And what you're left with is that relationship. And the design is that we live in unity, that we live close to one another. And I did put this scripture up there, if you don't mind putting up 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or rude, or proud or rude, sorry. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith. It always is hopeful, endures through every circumstance. And then it goes on to say, love never fails. We'll just be curious how you're doing in that department. You can take that and you think about, oh yeah, I gotta love other people, but what about yourself? How are you doing with you today? Did you know that your ability to connect with others and to connect with the Lord starts with, do I value myself? Am I worthy of being loved? Am I worthy of being accepted? Do you love yourself? Do you keep no record of wrong with yourself? I would propose to you that our ability to connect with God and with other people starts by right in here saying, thank you for the life I have. Thank you for the gift of my body. Thank you for the gift of time. Thank you for everything you've given me, every talent, everything, Lord. Help me to be okay with myself so that I can I can't give away what I don't have, if that makes sense. So if I can't even love myself, if I'm not okay with myself, how am I going to love other people? It doesn't matter if it's a spouse or a friend or whatever. And that is just, I got a whole sermon on it. We'll do it another day. But I just feel this morning when we were just praying, like there are some people who in here this morning that actually hate themselves. You know, I talk with youth all the time about stuff like this, because youth really struggle. We're at that age where we're wrestling with, who am I and what am I here for? But I feel this morning like there's also some adults in here too that are just really struggling with, like, am I worth loved, being loved? Am I worthy of being loved? Is there anything that I have to offer? Does God see anything in me? The answer is yes. He sees you. He saw you before you were forming your mother's womb. And he said, you're enough that I would give my son for. And he would do it again, because he sees the value in you. You're not a failure or a mistake. We all make mistakes. Here's the good news. When we go to Jesus and we give him our mistakes, he sees us through the blood of Jesus, which means we're made right with him. It doesn't matter how big of a mistake you've made. So you get a fresh start. The Bible says his mercy is new every morning. His grace is enough. So I just feel like that's what the Lord is saying. And I'll give you a whole sermon on it one day, but not today. I just want to open the altar. And if you would like to just receive prayer for maybe just struggling in your heart where you're just not free because you feel bound up because of shame, condemnation, if you're truly just honestly struggling with how you view yourself, maybe you feel like, I am not able to connect with people. I don't love myself and I don't love others. Or maybe you feel rejected by other people. A lot of times you're rejected because you're rejecting yourself. But I'd love to be able to pray with you that God would open the door that would help you to do connection in a healthy way. So I'm going to just invite these guys to play for a few more minutes, and I'm not going to prolong any longer, but if this is something that's on your heart, this is just what I feel God wants us to go after. So I invite you to come, and I'll just pray with you. No pressure, nothing. If you've never invited Jesus into your life, like we prayed earlier, and you're like, I want to make him Lord and Savior of my life, I just want to invite you to come, because I'd love to pray with you and encourage you and just talk about some of the next steps that involve with that. So if that's you, would you come as well? I'm not going to embarrass you, but I just want to pray with you. And if you need prayer for physical healing in your body this morning, I'd love to pray with you. Because I believe that one of the things that we have access to as a child of God is healing. Because the blood of Jesus paid for that on the cross. Because it said he conquered sickness and death, all disease. So everything has to bow at the name of Jesus. And so we continue to pray for that and fight for that together. So I want to pray for that. So if that's you, if you're interested, I just invite you to come. Don't wait. And for the rest of you, God bless you. Have a great, great day. I just encourage you, connect with somebody. Take someone for lunch. Take someone for supper. Come tonight at the Anglican Church. We have the foot washing service there together. I'd love to wash your feet. I know that might sound totally weird. We'll explain more about what that's about later. But it's an act of serving that we get to do that for one another. And it's what Jesus modeled. We want to do that. And I encourage you, Tuesday night, bring someone to Alpha. If you've ever had questions about faith, if you ever want to, bring somebody and come. And you're invited. So Tuesday night, Friday night, again, we're going to do the Holy Spirit weekend as part of the Alpha course. So Friday at 7, Saturday morning, 9:30, come, bring someone. And we'd love to see you there. Otherwise, God bless you. Have an amazing week. Yeah, and the live stream is off, so don't worry about that. Don't let that hold you back. Let's just trust God to move. He's a good, faithful God.